For several months, I've had this feeling that a vital preparation for next year's mission is for us as individuals and as a church to be more in step with God. And a few weeks ago, I was preparing a talk at for the home group and looking at bits of Kendall's book, Pure Joy. And in it, there was a chapter later on in the book called Flowing in the Spirit. And I've taken that as my theme for this morning. And looking at that first reading, you can really sense that this church at Thessalonica was certainly doing something right. And I thought we could look at that a bit and perhaps try and learn some things. Because Paul wrote in the second letter, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love everyone has for each other is increasing. Therefore, amongst God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring." Well, fortunately, we're not going to get too much persecution here. But we all have quite a few challenges in life, trials that come along. We have maybe illness, maybe caring for an elderly relative, maybe employment issues, relationship issues, all sorts of things, failing health, really serious illnesses. And that can really challenge us individually. It could be loneliness as well, because a lot of older people feel that loneliness of being lonely, and that's quite a challenge to their faith and where they are. But if we look at this letter from Paul, and what I've done is I've actually gone back into the first letter to see what they've been doing, to find out what they've taken on board from Paul. And in chapter 1 of the first letter, Paul wrote, "Our gospel came to you not simply with the words, but also with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You became imitators of us. You welcomed the message with joy, the message given by the Holy Spirit." And in chapter 2, "We dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God." In chapter 3, we learn that Paul sent Timothy to the church to find out how they were doing, to try and strengthen and encourage them. But Timothy came back and found that they were standing firm in their faith. And in that chapter also, Paul prays, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. May he strengthen your heart so that you'll be blameless and holy." In chapter 4, "You've been taught by God to love each other, yet we urge you to do more and more." And in chapter 5, "You are sons of the light. Be self-controlling, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. Always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." I think it's fair to assume that they probably listened to Paul and his words, because in other letters, when they haven't listened to him, he comes back and tells them off again, doesn't he? In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, 4:31-2, he said, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now, in this book, Pure Joy, Kendall wrote that unless we do this, we will grieve the Holy Spirit. But if we do this, we will show more of the Spirit's fruits of the Spirit. Secondly, be able to witness for Jesus with power. And thirdly, flow in the Spirit. So if we are challenged to go out of our comfort zone and don't, we run the risk of not only missing God's blessing, but also quenching, drying up the Holy Spirit. Kendall also wrote, flowing in the Spirit is praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is praying in the will of God. It is the only kind of praying that matters, because only when we ask in God's will that we are heard. Here is a principle you can count on for the rest of your life. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with Him. To flow in the Spirit is to flow in God's will. Sounds already good, but where do we start? Now it's, we naturally can look three ways. We can look in, we can look up, and we can look out. Now it's good sometimes to be looking in, because if we're looking in, we can make sure that we're eating the right food, getting enough rest, enough exercise, getting out and about to meet people, looking after our physical and mental health. But also looking in is quite good at times to check our motives and actions, where we need to change, make amends, and where we need to say sorry to those we've hurt and to God. But unfortunately, too much looking in can be dangerous. You know, it's getting upset when others don't satisfy our needs and expectations. And the reality is that most people get upset over very trivial matters. Other problem is, I don't know about you, do you ever grumble? Do you ever moan? Well, I think at times we all inwardly grumble, inwardly moan. The trouble is, it's when those moans get outside. Do you know what I mean? It's when they go out. And when those moans become criticisms. You know, it takes no talent or training to criticise and complain. And I think many clergy have had too many moans and groans laid at their feet. And, you know, we all face losses and anger as part of the grieving process. But many people hold on to those hurts and bitterness just oozes out. You know, if, unfortunately, you know, it leaks out. And I've come across people in my work and they can see they're struggling, they're hurting. And that, it just comes out of them. They don't mean to, but it just does. You know, but we all have tough times. And sometimes when we're in a hole, it's a bit like thinking, why me? Poor me. And it can be very depressing. But do you realise you've all got a get out of jail card? You know, the Monopoly get out of jail card? But what did Paul and Silas do when they're in Philippi? They got out of jail and they were singing and praising to God. And as I've shared before, I have found that just praising God when I'm in a hole works. So always remember your get out of jail card, put it in your wallet, just to say you've got a get out of jail card. In our second reading, we have, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and his sins are covered. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Looking at Paul's readings, both books, his message is quite clear. Keep away from sin. I don't know about you, but when I started having more of the Holy Spirit in my life, it got rather uncomfortable. Because all of a sudden, I could see areas in my life which were not quite what I thought they were. And it was hard. But you have to just clear it out and put it behind and just ask God to keep putting things down. Unfortunately, there are some people who never fully accept that God has forgiven them. And the problem is that when their next trial or disappointment or dip occurs, they think God is just punishing them. I've heard people say that. God is just punishing me. Well, that's wrong. You know, it's reverting back to just simply looking in rather than looking up. We've had a whole series of recent sermons, and they've surprisingly dovetailed into how my thoughts have developed. We read earlier, Paul urged the church to pray continually. When Christine Chilico was here, she advised us to make prayer the heartbeat of our lives, to put God first, to let go and allow God to be in control, and for us to be open to God's Spirit. Now, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer in a minute. And what do we say? Thy will be done. We regularly pray, Thy will be done. It's not our will, it's God's will. Helen led us an invitational prayer for us to receive more of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Chris pointed out our real purpose is to be God's hands, feet, and messenger in sharing God's love, not only to those we see every Sunday, but to those who have not heard about Jesus. You know, the more we are right with God, the more that love from God can flow through us. You know, there's no reason why we can't daily pray that the Holy Spirit guides and leads us. Paul urged us to encourage one another, build each other up, be kind, joyful, and thankful. We have so much to be joyful and thankful for. And when we're looking out, if we're just purely looking out in our own strength and our own purpose, we're going to run out. We're going to get dry. But if God's flowing through us, we've got to continue outpouring from us. You know, if we're holding in, you know, the people who are holding in that anger and that malice and that bitterness, that flows out of them. But if we've got God's love in us flowing, it just flow out. It just seep out to those out. And, you know, that song just had now, you know, cry out of, and your cry of love rings out across the lands. Let it ring out. Often we hear here, every quite regularly, of people sharing some of the scars and dents of their journey's life story. We just carry those scars and dents, don't we? Like the cars, they get worn a bit more bashed as they get older. But all these experiences that we've had and suffered, what are they? They're just a resource element to help others who are actually in need. They're a resource to help others. I feel that the more we act on the Spirit's prompting to share God's love, the better the eyes of our heart will be to see others in need. You know something? When we have those God moments, when we've really helped somebody unexpectedly, they are a real blessing, aren't they? But looking ahead to next year, I think I sense that one of the biggest objections and problems we've got is fear of our inadequacy and rejection. And one of the things I've learned over the years is that if you have a problem and have a fear, what you don't try and do is go round it. Because A, it's about four times further round. And nine times out of ten, if you go straight through the middle, it's not a problem anyway. But it's your fear is the problem. Have you experienced that? You had a real problem at work or something else and you just don't want to say it? But if you just go straight at it and honest about it, you're fine. And in the last few months, you know, I've looked at some really scary moments and I thought, ooh, this is not me. at New Wine, I had a prophetic word for somebody. We had the soul training with the group and went out. I was scared witless. We went out and I deliberately delayed our holiday a few hours so we could go on the prayer walk when we were going out to meet people and do blessings. And it was great. And our experience on Thursday night, we weren't quite sure how it was going to go. We had no idea. But everybody was very, very pleasant. And one dad said to me, "I quite understand why you're out here and what you're doing. You know, God had gone ahead of us. You know, that prayer, he'd gone ahead. And what are we doing? We're standing back thinking, oh no. But actually, God does the hard work." I think all we need to be is have more of that Holy Spirit and just allow ourselves to be supernaturally natural. Just be yourself. God's there. He'll give us the words. He'll bring people for us to see. So don't worry. Just let God be in control. Lay down those fears. And my prayer is that our love for God and others just goes on growing, like Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Let it just go on growing. And may we have more of the Holy Spirit. We just lose those fears and be open to God's leading. After all, it's not for our glory, but for God's glory. And may this be a church of a beacon of light, so that if Paul was around today, he could boast about us elsewhere. And it's all down to you guys. Okay? Thanks indeed.